Cultures of Compromise, an interview series conducted during the International Conference History and Theory of Compromise in June 2023, organized by the joint research project Cultures of Compromise. Interview with Anna Junge, conducted by Bitlem Zagiroglu and Tristan Haslik.
Welcome, dear listeners, to our interview, which we conducted during the International Conference on the History and Theory of Compromise in Essen. During this interview, we talked to Anna Junge, who was one of the presenters at the conference. Anna Junge is a doctoral candidate at the Center for Research on Anti-Semitism at TU Berlin and an associate at the Moses Mendelssohn Center for European Jewish Studies at the University of Potsdam. Starting off, we were interested in what she expected from attending the conference, especially in regards to initial insights for her personal research on compromise.
I think maybe the question I came with now even became bigger because I wasn't sure if my topic fits within the conference, because I'm not sure if I'm dealing with compromises in my research. And yes, in the end, I decided to frame it as compromise, parts of what I'm researching on, and that has just been discussed and has been questioned again. So the question about what is a compromise is still open for me.
As compromise may not have the best of reputations and may be seen as a burden, an unsatisfactory solution, or a failure of original plans, we wanted to know what could put compromise in a better light and if there are any possible alternatives to regulate conflicts effectively.
Compromise, how I would define it, is a very fair way to solve solutions if you meet an eye level. But I think the situation almost never exists. So who meets on eye level? You have material differences like in between persons, or if states debate conflicts. We have a powerful state and a less powerful state, so it's not meeting on eye level. And that's also the situation on my work. So I have the majority population and the villages and the very few returnees, Jewish survivors, who had to adopt the ruling conditions, and the other side doesn't care. So I think it's in theory a good and fair way to solve conflicts.
After this exciting insight, we inquired about the extent to which the concept of compromise was accepted in post-war rural Germany.
I think my sources it's not mentioned compromise and conflicts, or I didn't search for the word, so I'm not sure if people talked about compromise. It was more about like reconciliation. I think there was the very beginning when it was unclear how the political conditions in Germany which way they will take, and the survivors, but also radical left-wing or communists and others who've been persecuted before. When I think about my topic, like you have the survivors and the majority population in the beginning, the survivors had the soldiers behind them and they might have power, and the other side feared them, and later the majority population didn't have to care about them anymore, and the political system already turned in a special direction and conditions were set. So I don't see the point where they had to compromise, like when they met, both sides wanted to solve the problem first. The survivors just took what they wanted to get, and later they didn't get anything and the other side didn't want to help.
Since genocide studies are not only an important part of the research landscape within the humanities and social sciences, but also in an extremely broad field, we considered its diversity of topics and asked Anna Junge how she became interested in researching Jewish survivors in rural Germany.
Because my family comes from the rural Germany, and that's why I have known this region. And really, as a kid, I found Jewish cemeteries and asked questions, but no one of my family told me that there was a Jewish population. My mother didn't know about it, and like in every German family, in my family, it was not spoken about it. But by myself, I live in the city since always, and I think the differences to the countryside are very interesting. After 45, it's very rarely history or survivors.
78 years after the end of the Second World War, we live in a time in which there are fewer and fewer eyewitnesses who lived through the events and who could possibly be questioned by scholars of any discipline. Thus, the question arose, what challenges and obstacles did Anna Junge encounter during her research?
I even made a lot of interviews, so made interviews with survivors, but I mean it's the last years and they are now dying, all of them. The obstacles I found were in the villages, so there are still people who didn't like me, especially as a woman from the city, to write their past in a critical way. I can tell many stories, so for example I didn't get files out of the municipal hall, like I really had to go to different instances to make them give me the files, because I'm a researcher, I have the right to get the files, but they wanted to hide files, for example, with names about the perpetrators of the villages. I also shared my writings with teachers, for example, in a village, to make them work with their pupils about it, and then they made a school's book out of it without asking me. Now they wrote their history by themselves, but they were clearing or the names of the perpetrators, for example, or also all the part I wrote about the acting after 45 within the village, or the behavior of today. So it was just, they were just writing the past and then they were celebrating themselves. So villagers don't want people from outside managing their village stuff and look on them.
At the end of our talk, we were interested in a comparison between the Jews who returned to Vienna, where they had to make compromises mostly to be able to start over the life they lived before the war, at least in some regards, and the ones surviving in rural Germany. What kind of compromises did they have to make, and what were the goals of their compromises?
Yes, to live a Jewish life was just not possible in rural Germany, because there was no kosher life possible, and there was no minyan for synagogues meetings. I think the goal was just to live, to continue living. So maybe, for example, they were sick, so they didn't get an emigration permission to go abroad, or they didn't have relatives who helped them with money to help them to get out, like to the U.S. They still had an immigration law. Yes, and maybe they were in the age that they also even didn't imagine to start new with a new language. And what was the alternative? Here they had their house and they managed to get the house back. That was a goal. And then they had the goal to continue living in peace. So they tried to have a peaceful, harmonic relationship with their neighbors. Maybe they had one or two friends in the villages, and these relationships became closer, and with the rest they didn't want to have any trouble. So that's why they hided the differences. They restarted to work and tried to live the same lives like their neighbors, to show as if they were ordinary neighbors, with a goal to live in peace until their death. So most of them died in the 50s.
We hope you liked our little talk with Anna Junge, and that it clears up some questions about the concept of compromise by inspecting it from a historical as well as from the Holocaust study perspective. We found it most interesting and had a lot of fun conducting this as well as the other interviews. Therefore, we want to once again warmly thank all of the people who made it possible for us to have such a great experience. Especially, of course, Anna Junge for letting us conduct the interview with her. If you like this interview, feel free to listen to the other ones. And if you want to learn more about genocide studies and compromise, check out our interview with Dr. Elizabeth Anthony.